Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening once again, and welcome to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Brother Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing all right, brother.
Good, good. And Pastor Cox, good evening.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. And I know we've got a couple callers lined up, so I'll keep an eye out for them and let you know when they call in. Looking forward to a Christ-filled program, as always.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we do welcome everybody, and thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening to Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is a show about testimony, and what is that testimony? The captives being set free from that which have oppressed them, generally from evil spirits, demonic spirits, just the overall oppression of the enemy. And if you have any question regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That website's set up there, free to use, and it's just got a wealth of information about that. At the click of a mouse, just go to it, and it has everything that we talk about here each week, testimonies, has training, self-deliverance, all the prayers that are mentioned, and again, that's deliveranceusa.com. Or, if you'd like to read a book, or prefer a book, you can get the manual of casting out demons called Through the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. It's got a wealth of information. It is just absolutely, absolutely excellent tool to use. It lays down the step-by-step process for casting out demons, for self-deliverance, administering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and much, much more. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he'll certainly get it out to you. I know Richard told me the other day he got a book out to somebody, Pastor, so I'll say praise the Lord on that. And I've been cleaning up, doing some, not spring cleaning, I guess fall cleaning, and I came across three books that I had of yours. So I have one hand with me now, so if I come across somebody that I think needs it, I'm going to hand it to them.
All right. Well, praise God. Yes, that's... That book is not just a book. It is a book manual, and it's taken many, many decades to get to the point of writing it. And so what we've learned over these years to make exorcisms easy, quick, and more lasting, it still takes some hours, but considering that a person can get a Jesus overhaul in their life in one evening is really amazing. That's what drives us on to keep doing it. We had 11 cases Monday night, extra ministers. We do these Monday night sessions. I have done them now, since 1984, 36 years. And we normally will do over 700 cases a year, different people that come from, most of them over Oklahoma, but there's a certain number from out of state. And some of them drive, from the California to New York area or fly in. They come from all over. They see the website, and they're looking for someone to help them with this kind of ministry. They have gone to their pastors, many of them, and the pastors, they don't know anything on how to do it. Well, they finally wind up finding our website, and praise God, we're pretty seasoned at this point. I've been doing it 42 years, and of course, we keep learning things and tweaking, but overall, the steps we have in that book is really sufficient to get the job done.
It is. It's just step-by-step process. And why reinvent the wheel? Why to try to work harder and not smarter? That's what I was looking at. Work smarter, not harder. It's just step-by-step process. And they have found at Deliverance Ministries that if you follow these steps and follow them in the order they're laid out, that deliverance is usually pretty low-keyed. There isn't very many outbursts. Very few at all. Excuse me. I've got a little frog in my throat tonight. And but if you follow these step-by-step process, that it helps you get from A to Z without skipping over everything in between. So, you do step A, step B, step C, and these are there for a reason. They have to do with the shutting of the doors, closing the doors, healing, helping people forgive, all these things. And if you don't get past some of these things, pretty much deliverance won't work.
That's correct, and we've seen that over and over. And of course, the person has to want it. Sometimes there's
yes.
people around an individual. They want the person set free, but the person is not ready. Sometimes people have to get tormented enough to finally say, I need help. And we see a certain number of those. I had demon case Monday night. It went extremely well. Everything right by the book, by the steps in the book. It got the head demon had authority over her pain in her right knee, and it admitted it could take it off as I interrogated it. We had to do it, commanded it to do it. And, of course, they tend to lie to you, so you right all through it, you have to keep saying, well, you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the demon will say yes or no to that. So you can work your way through and finally get to the bottom line. And I just talked to that woman earlier today that I ministered to on Monday night, and she's going to be on the radio show, the second one, next Wednesday. And then I had another case today on FaceTime with a woman in Louisiana, got the head demon up there. Usually it's about one out of three, but sometimes I'll go three or four or five, not getting one, and then I'll get several head demons in a row. And that's kind of what happens sometimes, but that went very well today as well. The head demon was Beelzebub, and it was causing pain in her knee and so on. And it was delightful to see that leave, and, of course, the casting of spirits out. So drives us on to keep doing it.
It does, you see almost instant results, which is gratifying as well. Sometimes we have had deliverances where it doesn't seem like anything's happening, but we just have to We just have to stand upon that promise that the word performs itself. But, you know, we weren't live last week. We didn't want to compete with the vice presidential debate, so we chose to not come on the air so people could watch it and listen to it. But I had a chance to work with a customer of mine last week. Not a lot. I mean, it's so much. It's not that easy to get what is deliverance and the need for it in about 10, 15 minutes. But as we were talking, I had made a comment about because she'd lost a lot of weight. And she said, well, you know, stress will do that going through my divorce. And I said, excuse me? And then we were talking about it, and she was telling me all the details behind it. And I said, you know, this isn't going to be an easy thing to hear, but for you to get past this, you're going to have to forgive. And she's been through 2 years, been 2 years since divorce. And I didn't realize she'd went through the divorce that long, you know, been that long since the divorce. So I talked to her a little bit about it. The Holy Spirit was leading, guiding me, but I was able to, I did have some worksheets with me. So I gave her the breaking of ungodly soul ties and discussed her how to go through that with her ex-husband, and even the lady, since she knew the lady that he left her with for, and to do that. And I could tell that just from what I was witnessing to her, telling her, giving her that, I gave her the yellow sheet, which has the I ams in it, the steps for remaining free. And it's the yellow sheet's really good for positive maintenance in the Christian body, and then showed her how to go through the breaking of ungodly soul ties, and I could tell that she was receiving it. Now, hopefully, she went through with it. I have no other way to contact her other than contacting her business, but I have faith that the seeds that were planted will bear fruit. I've been praying for this lady, and I just know that. When you don't have a whole lot of time, you just let, you know, just be ready in season, out of season, and give what the Holy Spirit leads you. But I've known several, had several testimonies where I've left nothing but the breaking of ungodly soul ties to help people forgive. And when I get back 4 or 5 months later and visit them, that they just give me great testimonies.
That's so awesome, isn't it? And it's most amazing. And of course, that forgiving. And forgiving of others, forgiving of themselves, sometimes needing to forgive God, not knowing what about demons and what they've been doing, that doing the bad stuff. But it's I've done a lot of prayer line ministry where you only have a few minutes, you know, in church services and other meetings, and you just do what you can, but it's amazing what can happen in a few minutes. Even coming against a spirit of fear or something, and they'll report how it's gone. And while on Monday nights we spend around 5 hours to give them that full Jesus overhaul, an hour and a quarter of that is teaching and preparation, but it's so worth it to see a life turned around. Praise God.
Yes, it is. I mean, you have... 5 hours of your time is really not that much to ask for in the scheme of your life, because you have really nothing to lose except a little time and everything to gain. And she doesn't live that far from Oklahoma City. I'm really hoping. I gave her the ministry website with the phone number. I said, you know, you're only about 3 hours from Oklahoma City. It was in northwestern Arkansas. And I said, it'll change your life. And I said, if you just decide that you can't do it, I gave her my card. I said, call me and we'll do some ministry over the phone. I said, but, you know, it would really, really benefit you to go there. I think she really received it, because she did have a full gospel background. She did understand the gifts. She did have a prayer language. So I think she's on the right path. And she was able to receive what I was able to tell her when she gave me some details about the her ex-husband, that it was a spirit. I mean, honestly, Pastor, when a 53-year-old man leaves his wife for a woman 30 years younger, I just, what can you have in common with someone at that age? So it has to be just an absolute spirit of lust. I mean, just a 30-year difference there in today's age. You just have such little in common that the only thing that what makes sense is it's a spirit of lust that's come upon both of them.
Wow, that's so awesome. Well, so, that's our Jesus again. Well,
yeah.
The lady that's calling in tonight is from Springfield area, and hopefully she'll be calling here in the next minute or two.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's Amy, and Amy's ready. I'll bring her right on. Amy, thanks for calling.
All right.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, hi, Amy, and it's Ralph on here with us from in Hollister, which isn't far from you. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you just fine, Pastor Cox. Thank you. Yes, and nice to meet you, Ralph. I guess we are neighbors.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just about. It's a hop, skip, and a jump away. So,
for sure.
Well, Amy, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance, things that were going on in your life, and changes you've seen. So go right ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'm 49 years old. I grew up in a household with a mom that was into, you know, astrology and tarot card readings. And I really didn't have much of a church background. But because of her involvement into some of the occult, it had opened up the door where my brothers and I had experienced at very young ages apparitions throughout our household, waking up in the middle of the night to voices waking us up, noises outside that would wake us up, apparitions through yards, evil presences in the household. And, of course, it followed us after we sold the home and moved. So I continued to deal with, you know, kind of spiritual visitations from the dark side up until I was born again at the age of 15. I became born again because I had a praying grandmother. And all it took was one in my family to pray me into the kingdom. And it was her authenticity in her love for the Lord. He operated through her prayer intercession with many gifts of the Holy Spirit, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So I had seen the real manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and her love just permeated rooms as she would walk in, the love of Jesus. And at the age of 15, being a little horrible teenager that was into, you know, some occultic things, I was going in my mom's footsteps, the love of Jesus through her won me over as a real rebellious teenager. And I gave my life to Christ when I was 15, born again. And that's also where my spiritual warfare training started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, go right ahead.
So I'm 15 years of age. Because I didn't go to many churches much in my life other than, you know, occasional Bible school when I visit my father. My parents were divorced. I didn't have much knowledge of anything. So Grandma gave me a Bible. She introduced me to the Holy Spirit before I left. I didn't live near her. I'd only get to see her every 3 years. She lived in Montana. I lived in Arizona at the time. And she gave me a Bible study, a Bible, and she introduced me to the Holy Spirit and said, He'll be your teacher. And that He definitely did. From the moment I went back home after visiting her, I flew back home to Arizona. It's like the battle was on. I started getting little visitations at night. I had to learn to take authority and plead the blood of Jesus over my room, go out with my Ephesians 6 suit of armor. I had to learn how to loose angels to stand guard up over me at the age of 15 because I had to take authority over that area of my house and make sure it was cleansed for the Lord. The enemy kept persisting. I even had manifestations of faces that would appear in the wood on my closet doors. And I would call my grandma and say, hey, what's going on, and she would show me in the scriptures that, you know, Satan can appear as an angel of light. He'll try to make you doubt your salvation and just cover him up with good pictures, you know. So training started at that young of an age, and I just had to learn to battle up and make sure that I knew the name of Jesus, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, in earth, under earth, and in the heaven. And I always remember that greater is he in me than he is in the world. One of the things that really helped me combat as well is not just speaking the word into the atmosphere to make the enemy flee, but was to continue to immerse myself in the word of God, because the more word that was in me, the more Jesus. And the more Jesus, the less of the enemy, because he doesn't like to be in the presence of the Lord or the Holy Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, Clint, how did you finally learn about deliverance ministries?
As I got older, I started, I don't know how to say this. I guess it happened when my brother, yes, it happened when I was about 22 years of age. I always knew about the spiritual realm, and that I needed to battle up against it, but I never really realized the people around that, you know, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So now I'm dealing more with individuals instead of just myself, deliverance. My brother had gone through a drug overdose when I was about 22 years of age, and when Mom told me that he was in the hospital with eyes rolling into the back of his head and not knowing who she and my father were, and that he was claiming to be something he wasn't, I knew that he most likely had spirit. So, and he had also tried to take his life, which made him end up in the psychiatric ward. So through his use of drugs, it was an open door for the enemy, and I realized it. So it was time for me to come home. I was working on a cruise ship contract at the time, and I was able to get released early, and I said, Mom, I'm coming home. We're going to get Ryan restored. And so I came back home, and boy, I saw this kid that was totally different, and it was time to do some prayer and some fasting. He did come around for a while, but what do we know about getting set free? That unless you stay filled, your house stays filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that if you walk away and you open up the door, that seven meaner spirits can come back than what he was delivered from, and that's what happened. Still praying for him. He's still out there today, dealing with struggles. But, you know, as one is saved in the household, all shall be saved. I never give up. I never stop believing that Christ is going to deliver and set him free.
So what led you to seek ministry yourself, Amy?
Well, I always feel like wherever the Lord delivers somebody out of, that's somewhat your ministry that you should continue in, because you have a better understanding than anybody what God set you free from. So one of the things I wanted to do was to help others in knowing the power of Christ and how they can overcome. I continued in deliverance ministry for some time, into my 20s and my 30s. I ended up marrying a man that did street ministry. So a lot of the ministry that he would do with his ministry team, and I would go with them on occasion, was, of course, deliverance. Preaching, healing, and deliverance is the three things that Christ did. They call it the PhD of Christianity, preaching, healing, and deliverance. So going out there and seeing people get set free, it was such a blessing. Getting people out of the ditch with alcoholism or drug abuse or trauma, sexual abuse, it was an area that my husband really did a lot of ministry and with his pastor. So, of course, being with that all over these years, you think, okay, I have an understanding of the deliverance ministry. But something very traumatic happened down the road, and that's how I found deliverance ministries with Pastor Everett Cox in Oklahoma. I was dealing with, I was a third generation individual in my family that was sexually molested. And we know with the scriptures that the sins of the forefathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. And so I always would pray that, Lord, I pray that that curse be broken, that it no longer continue in my bloodline. I eventually had children, and about the age of five, my daughter was molested, and I didn't understand it. I said, Lord, I went to you, and I asked that you would break this generational curse. And yet it's been visited on the fourth generation when I stood in the gap and asked you to break it. I don't understand. And I went to a friend of mine who is a prayer intercessor. I said, I don't understand it. How could this happen? My husband's a minister. You know, we do ministry in this area. And yet this spirit got in. This generational spirit got in when it was supposed to be broken. And she said something very powerful to me. She said, did you ever call a fast? And I said, oh, my gosh, I didn't. And she said, Jesus said that some have to go out by prayer and by fasting. She goes, you better get busy. And at that time, a bunch of havoc broke out of my family. A divorce happened. it was like one thing after another. And I got so run down in the spirit all of a sudden that I couldn't even barely say a prayer. I had no energy left to fight. I was wounded beyond wound. I got attacked on a level where I could barely stand. My second daughter, all of a sudden, starts manifesting anger and rage, and I saw a spirit in her. And I'm just like, boy, I'm losing control here. I can't take authority anymore. I don't have a husband as a covering. I'm just so worn out. I don't even want to pray anymore. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, if one can send 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000, you need to team up with others that understand deliverance ministry. So I had prayed. The Lord had put me along the path of a dear brother in Christ. I saw him in a conference. Dr. Michael Lake, and he's up there in Missouri in Seymour, and he had mentioned how he and his wife had done a deliverance ministry, and I went through him. I had emailed him, and he said that they're so busy with him doing, he teaches now online. He does a Bible school, and I guess he gets 1,500 emails a day, and he said that they don't any longer run their congregation up there in Seymour because everything's done online now. But where he sends people for ministry, and mind you, this is Seymour, Missouri, so I'm in Springfield. I'm an hour away from Seymour. He says, we send all of our people that need deliverance over to Pastor Everett Cox in Oklahoma City. And I'm thinking, I've got to drive 4 hours away for deliverance ministry? I'm in the Bible Belt of Springfield, Missouri, and I've got to drive 4 hours. I said, nevertheless, I'll do it. So I came on over to the deliverance ministry team, knowing that I couldn't do it alone. I know that if one falls down, the other's there to lift them back up. And I know that the Father imparts gifts to the body in the deliverance ministry that even people that have that background, such as I did, had done that ministry, I needed help. Because somewhere along the line, I lost it. I've got my daughter manifesting spirits. I've got another daughter where the spirits came back in on a fourth generation molestation. I mean, I had just about lost everything at that time because my understanding of the deliverance ministry was a lot deeper, and I really didn't have the understanding, and that's how I found Delmon.org.
Amy, we have,
with Pastor Everett
we
Cox.
Have 4 minutes left. Have 4 minutes
oh.
left. Go ahead and tell how your ministry went.
Okay, so I come in and I get this amazing education for about an hour on deliverance and how God has called all of His children, that whatever we do, believing that we receive, we shall have, and we should do many wonderful works in His name, and that we have the authority to cast out spirits. So Pastor Cox laid out a foundation of the power and authority of the saints of God as heirs of Christ to the kingdom. So for me, that was a serious foundation, and it gave me a great strength and faith to go into the deliverance ministry service knowing that I was going to be set free.
Could you feel
I was able to go in
out?
And... you gave me a sheet of paper with your other two ministers that were in the room of probably about 300 symptoms I had been dealing with. And that 5.5 hours later, I'm walking out of there like the biggest, heaviest load is off my shoulders. And not only that is when I got home, and as the months have gone by, my daughter is no longer manifesting spirits.
Hallelujah.
Praise Lord.
Praise God. You know, often we'll find if the parents go through ministry, the children don't need it, where they because it was generational stuff, you know, coming through.
Yeah, yeah. I ever since doing deliverance, and I did do one yawn and I did one hiccup, okay? I don't know if I was truly tired or whatever. I'm just going to believe that everything left in the name of Jesus. Amen. But what I'm going to say is that I learned something totally different through the ministry. There were so many doors that needed to be closed. And before I went to the deliverance ministry, I had fasted for 2 days before because I expected great breakthrough. I know now that a lot of times when you do deliverance, it's through the prayer and the fast that you're going to get set free.
Praise God. Well, that's so awesome. And could you feel the demons coming out, Amy, when you were ministered to?
No, I didn't feel any coming out. Like I said, I had a little yawn and a little hiccup, and I can say that I felt, sometimes it's not a feeling necessarily, a manifestation, but it's believing the word of God that every door that Jesus is closing when you give it to Him, when you confess it to Him, that He's closing that door and that that door is not to be reopened.
Hallelujah.
And because
praise
God closes doors that no man can open, right? And He closes doors that no man can shut. Or is that, did I say that right? But what I'm saying is this, I walked out of there with a big, heavy load off my shoulders. And a lot of it's continuing to stay off in the name of Jesus. I give Him praise. I give Him glory. Only He can do that. Through faith, I know those doors were closed and that God set me free.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much, Amy. That was an awesome testimony. You've come
a long way.
Hallelujah. And exciting to hear. And if Jesus did it for you, He'll do it to anyone else that will reach out and go for it. God bless you, Amy. Thank you so much for calling in. Bye-bye.
God bless
you
both.
Thank
you for having me on the show. Good night.
Yes, bye-bye.
Good testimony. And actually what goes to show there is that step-by-step process we were talking about. Here's a woman that knew the spiritual battle. She knew the... I think she understood her authority, but she didn't really understand the closing of the doors. And if those doors are not closed, if the spirit leaves, it's temporary. And they could even come back with seven worse than before.
It seems that many deliverance ministries do not have a door-closing prayer that pulls a rug out from under the demons in the, to start with, so that's why our deliverances are easier, low-key and quicker.
Yes. Richard, I'm going to say that I didn't get your text until about 2 or 3 minutes after the last caller, so when the next one is on, please let us know.
Well, we've got Ashley is on, so Ashley, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, Ashley. Thank you for calling, and Ralph's on here with me. Exciting to
have Ashley.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Ralph is up in the Branson area. Well, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Ashley, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverances have been like, and changes you've seen.
I came from an abusive home when I was a child. Eventually, my step-parent, my mother and my father biologically all abandoned me and left me with my great-grandmother. I was about 14 years old and became very angry inside. I was very hurt and I started to practice witchcraft because people always told me I had a gift and that I probably needed to be a psychic. So that's what I started doing, and I had opened myself up to demonic entities and became very bound by bipolar disorder and schizoaffective psychosis and insomnia, different things like that. Had emotional disorder and distress from 14 to about 19 or 20 when I got baptized and born again at my grandmother's local church. And I couldn't really read the Bible before and understand it. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I got born again, the Bible became like something I just soaked up, and it was like I had it memorized. It was so easy and so easy to understand right after being born again. But at the same time, I didn't know how to operate in this new power because I did not have the Holy Ghost until about 2012, which was 8 years after being born again. I finally got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was able to speak in tongues, and I had a new power. And I had just found Deliverance Ministries in 2008 and was going often each year to get help. And then when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was able to read Everett's book on a regular basis and stay free as long as I could. But I recently returned because I got married to someone from another country, from a country in Africa, and it was like voodoo powers that I had never dealt with any time in my life. It was a new witchcraft that I knew nothing about, and it began to cause me health problems and hallucinations, and like people were actually showing up at my house. It was very weird. And so that's when I came for deliverance again. And it took about 4 sessions this last few months to get some freedom, even after I divorced this particular person. But I feel a new sense of bravery because I've learned about angels and about spiritual warfare and how I have authority and I don't need to be timid and I don't need to believe the lies of the enemy and accept them because I can take authority over it and reject it.
Praise God. So what went on next? Did you see changes?
Yes, I have seen some changes. I've seen a new sense of joy. I was very depressed. It was not an abusive relationship like any other relationship I ever had, but it was emotionally distressing because being from two different cultures, it was stressful to try to get along and try to understand each other and try to please our families and to still please each other. It was very stressful. So I'm sensing some freedom in my emotions from being hurt and rejected, from feeling abandoned. I'm finding my joy again and peace in my mind, and not always being in fear or feeling like I'm being attacked.
Praise God. So, did you, you started going through the training, haven't you?
Yes. I was, yes. I think that was my second training last week. And I knew that it was something I wanted to do since the first time I heard about you guys in 2008. But I kept avoiding it because I knew that once you get to that level of authority and power, you become a target. And that was another thing that had me fearful. But I finally decided to come around and to do whatever the Lord was telling me to do in the first place.
Praise God. And, of course, as we've learned, the best defense is an offense. And to use that Luke 10:19 as often as you need to, that we have power over all the enemy, and the promise from Jesus that nothing will harm us. So when you speak that, you receive it. And that word goes forth, even hitting the demons that are around, keeping them at bay, tending to, and it also puts them on notice. You've learned who you are in Jesus. They're hoping you haven't learned it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was just saying that we found the best defense is an offense. And so as you learn that, Luke 10:19, that we have all power, you know, in Jesus' name, and the promise that nothing will harm us. As you keep saying that a lot, it performs itself and tends to keep the enemy at bay. And, of course, they don't want to hear a Christian say it. They realize you know who you are now.
Yes, yes. I can. Yes, I heard you. Yes. That is true. And then the learning from another minister just recently about being sure to employ the angels, to make sure to pray, Lord, protect me, surround me, send the angels of God, you know, things like that. I've been doing that for the last few days, and I heard something in my spirit say, you are heavily guarded. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're protecting me, so whoever is doing whatever, they can't touch me.
Yes, that's so awesome. That's that scripture, Hebrews 1:14, that God's angels, the ministering spirits of God, are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. And we finally realized, and I learned it somewhere, that we can call on angels directly. Well, how good a feeling is that to know the angels, warring angels with their swords, are at your back?
It's a great feeling.
Amen. Yeah, we use them a lot. And even though we have all power anyway, ourselves, in Jesus' name, so many times in ministry, when a demon is up, they get greatly intimidated. As you call on the angels, they can even see them and even point out a lot of times which one looks the meanest, and then assign that warring angel to torment the demon as needed directly. So there's lots of... I didn't know that for many years. I don't know. It's been quite some decade since I first learned that. But in the beginning, I was like a lot of deliverance ministry. All I knew was to figure out the names of the likely spirits, you know, by the problem name, and then go in the attack mode, commanding them to come out. And we helped people, but it was sure hard ministry, and we go into the wee hours, and I didn't know anything about doors, and the Lord slowly started showing us about the doors to get those closed first. So I start putting a prayer together, which we call the door closing prayer today, and that does take the wind out of their sail quite a bit, to where they're usually pretty easy to deal with, and you can proceed. So, are you? Have you been setting in on some cases, actually?
Yes, I had the head demon case 2 weeks ago that I sent in on, and it was surprising at how much information that you could call, you know, get out of these demons, and of course verify it by the Holy Ghost. And someone did it on me last week, or this week, Monday, and just a long list of gifts and lies that I had been believing, and where in my body they had been inflicting pain. It was amazing to get all of that information so I can target, you know, in prayer, what it is that is affecting me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we win when we shoot, and some people are more complicated than others, but praise God we can get there, and everybody's different. Some cases are easier, and you can do it, you know, pretty well in one session. Others, they may take quite a few to get there, but praise God we do win. Jesus gave us all the power we need, all the tools that we need. We just need to apply them. Well, are there any other cases that you've set in on that were interesting?
It was, this particular thing that was interesting happened to me again about 3-4 weeks ago. It was a personal ministry session again where they did the reversing back to conception. And every month of my time in the womb, they asked me, you know, what's the words that come to you? What comes to your mind? And I was surprised at how much rejection, abandonment, and neglect and depression I felt in the womb.
Yes. That meant something was going on outside of the womb around you. And even as a baby growing in the womb, seems to be able to pick up on it. And sometimes spirits have even come in on the baby in the womb. So, yeah, that's all part of our tools that we've learned to do. What else did you see? Any other exciting?
I think it was the first time I came for ministry about 5 weeks ago. Someone was able to call up the head demon. And, I don't know if it was a head demon or not, but it was a spirit that came out of my mouth, and it said the person's name of a close friend that I had just stopped being friends with. And it said she was the cause of no joy. And as soon as we cast that out, I began to laugh uncontrollably. It was like my joy was refilled.
Awesome. Praise God. Well, you're on your way, Ashley, and it's such a joy and peace and comfort and fulfillment of being in the middle of all this. And of course, each of us getting free as we need it, but then also ministering to others, and that brings a special high. Have you experienced that some?
Oh, yes. I knew that this was something I needed to do because I felt like it was an obligation. God has given me a certain level of power, authority, and sight into the spirit realm, and I needed to use it for good, not for evil. I knew it was something that I was called to do, and even just sitting there and praying and worshiping before service, I still feel like it's an obligation. Like, this is what you were called to do. You know, you have a beautiful voice. You're a worshiper, and you also understand warfare and how worship is a great part of that. And so I fast every Monday. I fast and I go in there and I worship and I pray during the sessions that I sit in on. And I feel like that's enough. Like, that's fulfilling enough because I know that God is using me and I'm not sitting stifled or stagnant in my gift.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, praise and worship is an awesome part of all this. And, you know, it makes ministry a lot easier because the anointing's starting to flow. You know, many times we don't have the luxury of a lot of praise and worship. We find ourselves right into deliverance. And so we have to rely upon the Word to go forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. And we still wind up setting people free. But anytime you can have more anointing, it will make things easier. Well, in the time we have left here, Ashley, what would you say to the listeners before we wind up?
This is from my own personal experience. If you are reading fortune cookies, horoscopes, if you are consulting psychic hotlines or going to psychic palm readers, if you call up a friend and she gives you a vision or a dream that is so demonic and you know it's not what you want or what God would even want for you, do not accept any of it. Do not practice any of it. Do not encourage any of it. Get out as soon as you can. Just opening those doors brought so much depression and psychosis and insanity to my life. And it wasn't until I became born again and filled with the Holy Ghost that I had any power to get free.
Yes, praise God. And those doors are in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, also on our website, and under ministry, self-ministry. If you go to our website and go down to the self-ministry page and click on that, then there's actually 4 hours of teaching like we do on Monday nights, and then actual deliverance. We've had people, even from other countries, report how that gave them relief. So there's a lot of ways to get free, and praise God, Ashley, it's an awesome testimony tonight. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you, Ashley.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, they both told it how it was.
Yes.
Right. You know, it's just the joy in both their voices was just awesome. And
yes.
That's one thing that just seems to come. For every testimony we have, just how many of them just have such joy in their voice, such joy in their testimony. And it's very uplifting to hear. And I'm just thankful for each week that we get to come on here and do this. And it's just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, all those things are door openers. And especially, you know, it may not affect this person, but it may affect that person more and worse. It's just like, you know, some people can have a drink of alcohol and it doesn't bother them, but some people can't have that one drink. So when you start dabbling things, it's just kind of best to say, you know what, I'm just going to err on the side of caution and stay away from all that stuff. And if you have dealt with it.
Some of those people, Ralph, may even have a generational curse of alcoholism on them.
Yes.
You know, and when they finally take that first drink, it activates.
Yes.
And the demon takes hold.
Yes.
You run into all kinds of stuff like that out there.
Yeah. Yes, there is. And it could be something generational with, obviously we shouldn't be dealing with fortune tellers and stuff, and we're told in Scripture not to deal with those things. But, you know, you'll see some people that it affects worse than others, and it's just best to stay away from that. If you have dealt with those things, deliverance can help. It may be causing problems in your life you don't even realize. But we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. If you have any questions, the website is deliveranceusa.com, or you can get the book Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. But as always, Pastor, it's just a pleasure to come on here on Wednesday night. We thank our callers. We thank all the past callers. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, listeners, for joining us this evening. So we'll see you next Wednesday. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless, everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing.
Nothing will harm you.